This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And we roll along here into hour number two of our Thursday get-together. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby today in our Odyssey Palace Studios right here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. is idle today. We'll finish up the week without Tony tomorrow. Then Monday is another one of these President's Days. Pretty soon we're just going to have a four-day work week. I mean, you get every Monday off, it seems like.
I don't think that's true, Chris.
No, I know. But two in a row. I mean, we had Martin Luther King Day recently, and now we get the President's Day off Monday. But Tony will be back on Tuesday with us. And don't look now, but next Friday is the first spring training game.
And we are carrying it on the station.
That's right. On the 21st, yes. Jesse and Tony will be on the radio airwaves for that. All right. Very nice of Rob Bradford to join us from Boston. He is the guy in charge of the very entertaining Baseball Isn't Boring. It's a podcast. You ought to check it out if you're a baseball fan and haven't done so yet. Rob, we appreciate you coming on with us today at kind of short notice. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? It's my pleasure. It's an honor to talk to you guys. And it's been a wild day. I'm not going to lie to you. Like I've said before today, I picked the wrong night to take a melatonin at 10 o'clock at night. You know, when it started kicking in, the Nick Pavetta news just had happened. I'm like, okay, big Pavetta. And then, boom, here comes Bregman when I wake up at 5:30 in the morning. It hasn't stopped since. But this is what I love about it. You know, we hate how long this offseason has taken, but when stuff happens, it's awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, Boston's a whole other world. I mean, we love our Padres here. There's no question. But Boston, there's something different about Boston. And I'm sure people are, for the most part, ecstatic about getting Bregman. But I want to ask about Pavetta and just get some of your insight. You can look at the straight-up career record, and it's not very enticing, frankly. He's 15 games below 500, career ERA 4.76. But all of the analytic numbers, strikeouts and whiff rate and spin rate and all of that, that seems to indicate that Nick Pavetta is a pitcher who's about to break out and have a monster season. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's why he was offered the qualifying offer, number one. I don't think the Red Sox, as much of as he has been up and down for the Red Sox before, that they don't, if they didn't believe that he had the potential to have that aforementioned breakout season, they don't offer him the qualifying offer. He turns it down, and he turns it down because, really, of all the things you said, the buzz throughout baseball was this guy in free agency is going to be the guy that everyone's going to want, not necessarily because of what he's done, but because of what he's going to be. And really, like, that's the world of baseball right now, right? It's really we pushed aside what guys have done. And we say, no, look at all these analytics, look at the spin rate, look at all the numbers, look at the pitch that, you know, we can teach him this pitch and it's going to be better. And so we're going to invest in that guy more than ever. And Nick Pavetta was the poster boy for this. But I think what hurt him was the way that the market unfolded obviously the qualifying offer would hurt him as well. But the fact that he still landed at 4 years tells you that, you know, this guy has potential, and I do think he does have potential. Like, he's not a guy where I say, well, he had a 5 ERA and it's a great spin rate and you're just going to have to take my word for it. No. I've seen this guy at his best, and he goes on runs. He can be a really good guy. He can be a workhorse. He can give you innings. He can perform at the highest in the biggest stage, because he did it before in the Red Sox run in 2021. And so, yeah, I mean, I think for what the Padres did, what they got him for, I don't think it's a bad move. Yeah, it's uncomfortable because of the qualifying offer a little bit, but it's not. If you like the guy, don't get all wrapped up in that. If you like the guy, then go get him. It's not going to kill you with the AAV. It's fine. So I do think I see what the Padres did here, and I really don't have a complaint with it.
Talking to Rob Bradford here of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast on the Odyssey Network. Just Google that and you'll be able to find it and listen to it. And you talked about the qualifying offer, which does mean the Padres have to forfeit a pick to the Red Sox. And it's, I believe, the second highest pick in the draft. I guess the criticism from people out here is they're trying to rebuild their farm system. They don't have many guys that can be used as trade pieces. Is foregoing this draft pick worth it for the signing of Nick Pivetta?
Well, I totally understand that argument. And like I said, I mean, I tend to not get wrapped up in going over the luxury tax and losing spots and worrying about, you know, losing picks because of the qualifying offer, because I'm a huge proponent of getting back to worry about who you're getting and not what you're giving up. And I know that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but if they look at Nick Pivetta and they say, hey, why were we rebuilding, or why we think that we're going to, like, ease back into contention here, it's important to have this player in our starting rotation who is going to be a good starting pitching for us in, you know, toward the top of the rotation. That is what's important, why we figure all this other stuff out. So I think that I like that. I'm not going to lie to you. I like that. I totally understand the other argument, because we've seen second round picks really blow up. We understand how, listen, the top prospect in all of baseball, Roman Anthony right now, was a second round pick. This happens. But at the same time, you just say, what is important to building the foundation of this organization, and are we confident this guy is going to be able to produce? And you got to be convicted. And I think they were convicted in identifying Pivetta in that way.
Well, you know, you look at a little further. Again, I'm trying to, you know, look and see what the Padres are seeing without going into the analytic part, because it's so confusing, honestly, to me. But Pivetta started 27 games last year, and he gave up 3 or fewer runs 20 times, which tells you he's giving you a decent shot to win. And if you look at the Red Sox record in the games that he started, they were 14-13. He himself was 6-12, but that means he kept them in a lot of games that they ended up winning. So that bodes well. And you look at the strikeout games, he had 5-10 strikeout games last year. Now, some of this is starting to make a little better sense to me, Rob.
Yeah, and you know, I'll go back to the year before where, you know, he was taken out of the starting rotation, and this was early in the year, and he was not happy. Like, he's a very fiery, competitive guy, and so he was not happy. But he figured things out, and then he went on a run after that. And I think that exactly a lot of things that you said are the important stuff, which is he's going to usually give you innings. He's going to keep you in the game. Some of his pitches, like, we don't need baseball savant to see, like, how different his pitches are. I can see them with the naked eye. Like, he has a 12-6 curveball, which is really unique. His rise on his fastball is elite. So all of this, and maybe sometimes a change of scenery, a different voice, that is the thing that unlocks it to the point where all of a sudden now you get the no doubt about it, top of the rotation guy. But it definitely is there. You just cited the numbers, and you're bringing back a lot of these memories where I'm like, okay, you know, yes, like, he was really, really good at times. But, you know, I think what the Padres are banking on are, like, maybe, like I said, like that change of scenery, different voice, just a little bit here, just a little bit there, you're on your way.
Talking to Rob Bradford, the reason he knows so much about Nick Pivetta, he's a Red Sox reporter for WEEI. He's also the host of Baseball Isn't Boring. And one guy that the Padres have now that got a change of scenery, it didn't quite work out as well as all of us wanted to, and that would be Xander Bogaerts. I'm not personally giving up on Xander Bogaerts, but from afar, the last couple seasons, what have you seen from Xander, and do you think that he can find his form again?
Yeah, you know, first of all, Xander was always one of my favorite players to deal with because I feel like he was a true – he was accountable. He played the right way. He was a good player when he played for the Red Sox. He played in some very important games, obviously, for them, all of the above. And so when he gets the free agent market and the Padres decide to blow – really, it was the Red Sox away. The Red Sox were the other team involved with an 11-year offer – nobody was ever going to go that. It was crazy. And how does Xander turn down an 11-year deal?
Yeah.
And then you're moving him back and forth in positions. The thing that always concerned me a little bit about Xander was his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
He always had this wrist problem. And I know that it's cropped up here and there again. I feel like when he's healthy and his wrist is healthy, he's a far different player. And I think he can be a really effective player. Is he going to be a player that you want to sign an 11-year, what was it, $270, $280 million contract to? Probably not. But it kind of comes back to what we were saying, like, all right, who do you want as the foundation players to why you build everything up, why you get the Jackson Merrills going, why you get, like, everybody else coming up, Salas. So who are those guys? And there's worse guys to have than Xander Bogaerts. I think he's probably better than he's shown in the first 2 years. But you know, that's only me talking. Again, I'm a Xander, maybe not an apologist, but certainly a fan. I've seen the best in him, and I also know that this is a guy who isn't going to just take his money and not do anything and say, "Oh well." I mean, he's going to try to figure it out, and I think he will figure it out.
Rob Bradford, great talking to you from Boston. I have one last thing. We have a minute or two left. Alex Verdugo played there for 4 years before he went to the Yankees last year. 13 homers pretty much every season, had an 11 in there, 70 RBI. I don't know how expensive he's going to be, but he's still out there. Would you take a run at him if you needed another bat?
Yeah, for short-term money. I mean, just north of a minor league deal. You know, and obviously that's not what Alex Verdugo is banking on when he's eyeing free agency, but this is sort of where he's landed. He had a run with the Red Sox where you thought, oh, he might get an extension. Well, that obviously didn't go well, certainly at the end. Then he had a run with the Yankees, like, oh, what a great fit. And then toward the end, that didn't go well. And this is where he is. This is his lot in life. But in terms of taking a flyer on a guy at low money, there's a lot worse outfielders you're going to do. Yeah, it's a flawed signing in a lot of ways. But for what's available right now,
yeah.
I would do it. I would for a short term, but a guy who's probably going to be motivated to hit the market again in a better spot than he is now, I would do it.
Rob, we really appreciate the insight.
Yeah, that was great.
Very good stuff. If you need anything, you know, some insight from San Diego.
Hit me up.
No, don't hit him up. Tony will be back in a couple of days.
Yeah, I was going to say, he can hit me up and I'll set him up with someone else.
But anytime you need anything, hopefully we can reciprocate. We appreciate it very much.
Listen, guys, I hope to get out. I usually get out to Arizona. I always like swinging through the Padres camp. And if I do, I make sure I drop off a bucket load of baseballs and boring T-shirts to you. So I appreciate it.
Awesome.
There we go. Very good.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring is the podcast. Check that out. You'll get more insight like we just had there. Got to check a little traffic right here, Scrape.
Give me a second.
We don't quite have the traffic yet?
No, we have traffic. I just had to hang up on it. I'm a one-man band, Chris.
Yes, you are.
Traffic's ready.
You're like a one-armed paper hanger over there.
Okay, we're going to have to talk about that in the break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now we're back, and happy to be back. Thanks again to Rob Bradford. Good insight there on Nick Pivetta. And, you know, I think my breakdown in my own mind of what I thought about Nick Pivetta going into that interview is pretty much how I came out of that interview, Scrape, that he's not really getting paid for what he's done. He's getting paid for what they think he's going to do.
That's what they pay people for, though.
Yeah, but that's weird to me.
I know, but we've talked about it so many times.
Yeah. Well, 20 out of 27... last year, gave up three or fewer runs. So that tells you that most of the time he goes out there, he gives you a chance to win the game.
That's a good stat.
So that's a good thing. Let's hope that continues this year. I was just looking up here at the screen. I do like the PTI guys, Kornheiser, Wilbon.
Yep.
I think that's one of the best of the shows that, you know, go over subjects and talk back and forth. Because they, you know why I like them? Because they don't yell at each other. Like all the rest of these shows.
Yeah.
So anyway, I enjoy it. But the headline was, excited about the Four Nations U.S.-Finland matchup.
Oh, I can't wait. Let's go. Let's go, USA.
Hockey has lost me, and I don't mean to be critical. I just don't even get it.
USA. Yeah. USA. And Chris, you haven't heard this is the biggest tournament of all time?
No, it's not.
That's what people keep telling me.
I know. People are excited about it, but I haven't watched any of it, nor do I think I will, and I think I'm a good hockey guy.
I was told by someone that I should be ashamed of myself for not knowing that this is happening.
But these are NHL players that are all just being borrowed by their country for a tournament. Whereas when you have, like, the real team Finland against the real team USA, I seem to have a little more national pride. These are just rich, you know, superstars being divided up in a different way to play against each other.
But I don't think they're getting paid for it.
Right. No, look, hockey players are the last ones I'm ever going to criticize in terms of, you know, money.
Yeah.
Because they don't make nearly as much. And all those guys in hockey, man, they're terrific. So, yeah, that's not what I meant to infer. What I'm just saying is Sidney Crosby plays for the Penguins, but he also is playing for Team Canada. There's another guy that plays against Sidney Crosby in the NHL who's playing next to him now on Team Canada. That's always weird to me.
I can see how that you would think that's weird.
There was a story about, you remember Bob Gibson? You don't. Gibson was the most competitive pitcher like in the history of the sport. And there was a story I saw last week about Bob Gibson. He hated All-Star games. And the reason he hated All-Star games is because he didn't like to go into the locker room with Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Johnny Bench and whoever it was on the National League All-Stars along with him, because Bob Gibson built up a hatred for those guys trying to get them out during the season. Hmm. And he didn't like going into the locker room and schmoozing with a guy that 2 weeks later he was going to be trying to throw a fastball by their, you know, by their neck.
I kind of miss those days,
right?
A little bit.
We all miss those days. It's not like that at all. I mean, All-Star games are like, oh, man, I love you, hugs all around. But Bob Gibson, and, you know, he's not the only one, but, yeah.
I also think you had
back to a little better time when teams really didn't like each other. It made it a whole lot better.
Back then, there wasn't as many distractions, and
Agreed.
So it would
Agreed.
Maybe be easier for this to for someone to feel that way. But I miss it. I want that. I want the Padres to walk into the All-Star locker room, look at the Dodgers.
Yes, I'm not going to talk to you.
And
right.
And put up their one finger salute.
I don't know if that's necessary, but you know, I mean, but can you imagine Bob Gibson, Johnny Bench comes over, "Hey, Bob, how are you? Get out of here. Get out of my face."
Well, he just doesn't say anything.
Right. No, I'm not talking to you. You're the kind of same guy I need to get out next week.
Yeah.
That was Bob Gibson's way of thinking about it. Speaking of people that are hated, we have a couple of minutes to talk about my guy, Dan Hurley, the UConn coach.
Oh, gosh.
Now, his act the other night has been widely panned by pretty much everybody in sports. If you missed it, UConn won on the road at Creighton, and as Dan Hurley was walking off the court, he started exchanging verbal confrontations with fans. And Dan Hurley eventually pointed to his ring finger and said, "I've got two." And he said it more than once.
Yes.
As he walked off. And it just looked, it looked so petty for a national championship coach to be acting this way. But the more we've looked into this story, apparently the kids behind the UConn bench in that game from Creighton, the game was played at Creighton, were yelling the entire game, "Bleep Dan Hurley."
Oh.
And like endlessly, like never stopped.
That's quite a bit annoying.
Right? So where is two going too far, and where is Dan Hurley get the right to, you know, snap back at those guys as he's walking off the court?
Well, first, I always think the coach should have a better handle of his emotions than players.
Right.
Number one, you have to lead by example. You have to just walk right by.
You would like to see him do that.
Yeah. I kind of understand why he would want to do this if that's what they're saying the entire game, but I also think that he is the one who caused this problem for himself.
Because now
everybody wants to bother him, knowing that it will get in his head.
You can get under his skin.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it from our angle. If Brian Dutcher ever walked off the court at New Mexico, Wyoming, Utah, you name it, and gestured up to the crowd, hey, and then, you know, we got all these Mountain West titles, we're a Sweet 16, blah, blah, blah. I would be shocked, first of all. It's not going to happen, but I would feel some type of way about my coach acting like that.
Well, it would be something that would be so shocking for him to
Brian
do.
Brian Dutcher has so much class, and honestly, Dan Hurley, to me, looks like he has none.
He's got two championships, though.
And he doesn't care, right? That's right. His thing is, I've won two championships. My doesn't stink. And, you know, I'll do whatever I damn well please.
I don't know this to be true, but Dan Hurley, did he play NBA basketball? College basketball?
No. I think his brother Bobby did.
Okay.
I think they both played some college basketball.
He's got, I wish I was a great athlete energy, Chris.
Yeah.
He wants to be the athlete, but he was only good enough to be the coach. That's the type of energy I see here. That's why he goes for the childish stuff, like pointing to his ring, telling the referee that he's the best bleeping coach in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan Hurley is not a bad coach. There's no can argue that. I mean, you watch that UConn team carve up the Aztecs the last 2 years. You know, they're good.
Yeah.
But just, somebody had a really good point. You know, when you're going up the ladder, and Dan Hurley is at probably the top of the ladder already.
Well, he's been offered an NBA job. He turned it down.
And a lot of people with the Lakers and fans of the Lakers are like really happy that happened. Yeah. But when you're on your way up and you're really getting to the summit, maybe he's already at the summit, you meet the same people coming down the other side.
That's true.
And a little humility can go a long way. And Dan Hurley has none of that. So
you do need to be nice to the little people. Those people remember.
Dan Hurley doesn't seem to be too interested in that.
I would love to see the best coach in the game have his team not win the national championship.
Well, first of all, they're not even ranked right now.
I know.
So they've got a long way to go to get where he thinks they should be this year.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a really good segment for us planned next.
30-mile zone.
Chris?
And I understand it's incredible, and it includes potential bathroom issues.
I have a shocking story. I have a gross story.
Ah!
I have a hilarious story.
Okay.
And I have a terrifying story for everybody today.
Really? All of that?
The terrifying story is legitimately terrifying.
Don't forget Nick Boyd from San Diego State at 4:20 this afternoon. Gwen and Chris rolls on. Having a pretty good time today. I hope you're enjoying as well. 3:34 is the time. Coming up 2 hours from right now, we will announce today's biggest fan winner. If that biggest fan calls us back within 10 minutes, they will be qualified for the grand prize. 20 tickets for them and the friends. A night in the Odyssey suite at a Padres game. Remember, if you would like to have a chance to win this prize, you have to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Do that. Still taking registrations, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We announce three winners per day. 9:30 on the morning show, 1:30 on the midday show,
yes,
and 5:30 on our show. If your name gets called, you could end up going to that suite for 20 with 20 of your favorite people. Scraby's got a crazy 30-mile zone apparently today.
I do.
He has been talking about this like ad nauseum from the minute I walked into the door.
I'm very excited about this one.
Ah, this is going to be the greatest thing. The problem is you've built it up now, so we'll have to see what you can do.
Sometimes I have stories that, you know, aren't the greatest, but
today you're
blessed.
Feeling good.
I was blessed with some great stories, Chris.
Today, you're feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we'll check traffic. And with no further ado, it is the 30-mile zone.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30-mile zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right.
By the way, Harvey Levin would never file a lawsuit against us.
Are you kidding me? I think that would be the first person
to
file a lawsuit.
That's going to be the first one to file one?
I think he's very protective over his brand.
I am one of those people that watches TMZ.
I know.
To get my news.
It's very strange. I cannot stand that show.
Well, but honestly, is it any better or worse than watching one of these all news networks? I mean, you don't know where the news is coming from. It's really hard to sort through what's accurate, what's not accurate. I think TMZ gives it to you straight up. I really do. I know they're not known for that, but I think they.
We've said before that it doesn't. They don't get things wrong often, but when they do, they hide it.
All right.
Like the whole Kate Middleton thing, you remember that? When they said that they found her and they posted a video of her, and then everybody was like, oh, that's not Kate Middleton. And they just took it down and never said anything like, hey, we posted a fake video. Anyway, let's start with O.J. Simpson. How about that, Chris?
This story is...
Okay, well, there's been a little update to the story.
Now, you said you had one story that was a little...
This is shocking.
This one goes in the shocking category?
I'll tell
category?
You which one, yes. Okay. This is the shocking category.
This
story has changed a bit, but O.J. Simpson's house, his Las Vegas house, is up for sale, and it's going to be going to auction. Now, when I first originally read the story, like, days ago, it said that people had been asking about bidding on the bed he passed away on, which is in his house... The hospice people are taking the bed back, so it's not up for bid. That was the change in the story.
Oh, you can't get the bed now.
No, but there were people
that
who
wanted
to the
find
bed
out information about that.
That OJ died in.
Yeah.
Which, I'm a weird person. That takes a really weird person.
Can't see you being that weird, Scrape.
No, I would not buy OJ's death bed.
No, you would not.
But he is, all of his stuff is going up for auction, and it's basically everything in his house except for that death bed. He's got pictures with celebrities. He's got pictures, family pictures. He's got old NFL films. He's got autograph pictures.
I love pictures of celebrities. The problem is I don't think...
They're with OJ.
I don't think I'd want one where OJ was in the picture.
Yeah, they also have like memorabilia from his playing days. There's a... Buffalo Bills helmets.
You know
There's
that Lori
footballs.
Actually, wife Lori, actually worked in a company in Beverly Hills when we lived up there many years ago. The company was partly owned by none other than O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
Right. And he used to come in now and again.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Did you ever make him mad?
Did I?
Or no, did someone ever make him mad?
I'm still here, aren't I?
Yes, you're here.
Okay,
I'm telling you
well,
about
then
it.
I did not make him mad.
Tyler has a really morbid joke, but it's funny. Any deathbed confession notes stuck under the mattress?
Potentially.
There is somewhat of a sad part to this story because I guess OJ's son has been living in the house, but he needs to pay back. OJ has debt to pay, and so they're trying to auction all this off. He doesn't want to leave the house, and so there. That's sad when this stuff comes down to family members having to fight over stuff. It's just not good.
It happens honestly more often than not.
Yeah, I know.
When somebody passes away, I mean, look at, you know, the scrap that's going on in the Padres organization.
I was
this
thinking
kind
it.
Of stuff, unfortunately, is quite common out there.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. All right, let's go to the gross story, Chris.
All right, because shouldn't we end with this one?
You want to end with this
one?
Yeah,
okay. I think the gross story ought to be saved for last. Just hopefully we'll run out of time.
No, we won't. We won't. Okay, then we'll go to the hilarious story.
All right.
I think it's hilarious that the people who robbed Joe Burrow and Travis Kelce, more and more pictures of them wearing all the stuff that they stole, they're appearing on the internet. And the hilarious part of this is that these kids are so dumb that they are taking pictures with all of the jewelry that they had. And then one guy even took a picture with his ski mask on and a screwdriver. Like, hey, I'm about to break into a house.
Did they include directions to where they happen to be now?
No, but they were found and they've been arrested.
Yeah,
so,
no, exactly.
They're wearing the expensive watches. They're wearing the chains. They're wearing the shirts. They're wearing the backpack, the Louis Vuitton backpack.
Yeah.
But these guys are found to be Chilean nationals, and they are already in trouble with the feds. They were indicted for transporting stolen goods and falsifying records in a federal investigation.
Boy.
But these kids, they're starting to figure out who this was. And remember when they thought this was some like organized crime ring and This was very, like, professionally done.
Apparently not.
It was just done by
apparently
a bunch of kids.
Apparently it was a couple of idiots.
It was just a couple kids.
Yeah. And, you know, they always talk about the way that they catch most criminals is not by anything that the police
do
and the investigators do. It's because most criminals are stupid.
And then they stop caring about hiding it. And then they get caught. I guess close to $300,000 worth of stuff was stolen from Joe Burrow's home.
Wow.
But yeah,
I mean, how much is your stuff worth in your home total? Like,
not $300. I guarantee you, the toilet paper he uses is worth more than my house.
Yeah,
but yeah, Joe Burrow, did you see him in what he was wearing at the NFL Honor Show?
You know, if it weren't for people like Kyle Kuzma, Joe Burrow would probably be the...
I don't think he's that bad.
...crazy dresser out there, but there's some other ones that...
He does look interesting, though, with his... It looked like pajamas to me, but he looks more and more every day like Macaulay Culkin. Like, it's crazy how much he looks like Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yeah, he does. By the way, Joe Burrow not married?
Not married.
That's pretty clear.
Why?
No wife in her right mind would let him out of the house looking the way he does.
Well, I don't think... okay, maybe.
I'm just saying.
Is Kyle Kuzma married?
I don't know. But my point is you will all know when Joe Burrow is married out there, when he starts showing up in like a real suit and, you know, some sweaters and, you know, sport coats and things like that. But, you know, while he's out there, you know, he's loving every minute of it. So why not? Good for him.
Yeah, all right. Here's the terrifying story, Chris.
All right.
Terrifying.
Oh, boy.
There's a guy named Adrian Simancas, and he was kayaking the Strait of Magellan. Do you know where that is?
I don't. But
off the waters of Chile.
Does it help that I've heard of Magellan?
Yes.
He was the first person to sail around the world, I believe.
Possibly.
I'm telling you, he was the first.
I think that's why they have that GPS name, Magellan.
Magellan was a great big-time explorer back in the day.
Well, Adrian was, you know, kayaking in the Strait of Magellan off of the Chilean Patagonia area of life. And out of nowhere, Chris, a humpback whale came up out of the water and ate him. Put the Chilean person in the humpback whale's mouth. The guy was spit out later.
Ball game.
He's fine.
Wait, but he's fine?
There's video. I can't play.
Wait. He got eaten and he lived?
Well, humpback whales don't, like, chew you up.
Ooh.
So the humpback whale was going for a bunch of krill, I think it is.
Okay.
And it was just trying to eat, and the guy was in the way, and he ended up in the humpback's mouth. Now, there's video of this. I can't really play it because there's no audio or anything like that, but you could find this on TMZ Sports.
Well, who was taking video?
His friend, who was with him, a short distance away.
Imagine the friend's reaction, like, wow, he just ate my friend.
Yeah, this guy looks, I got to say that he is pretty calm for being in a humpback whale's mouth.
How long was he in there?
Oh, just a couple seconds. But the humpback whale took him under for a second.
I would have a heart attack before
I'm telling
it got
you, Chris,
out.
This is my worst nightmare, being attacked by a sea creature.
Never mind, being attacked is one thing, eaten is another.
Gonzo says Chileans were tasty.
Wow.
Yes, they do have bristles for teeth. That's why they don't have, like, you know, regular teeth like a orca or something. Notice I didn't say killer whale, Chris, because that's not their name. It's an orca.
Okay.
I don't think I would ever return to life if I was swallowed by a humpback whale. Just wouldn't happen for me, okay?
Let's just hope that all of us avoid that predicament.
Okay. We're going to have to go to a pretty sad and serious story real quick, but Kadarius Toney has been kind of the butts of jokes for many years now, and he's in trouble. He has been arrested, and he has actually spoken out by it, and then he deleted the Instagram story. He said that people will believe anything about him as long as it's bad. He was accused of attacking his pregnant girlfriend on February 6th, and she called the police. The 911 calls are out, but he was he's facing one charge of obstructing, harassing 911 calls, one count of aggravated assault, strangulation, and They're not going to, they don't know if they're going to charge you with the rest. But anyway,
I'm just going to, continue to hope for the day when these stories are no longer.
I'm with you, but
it's so hard to know. I mean, you want to just criticize Kadarius Toney and say, oh my goodness, what are you doing? But we've seen so many of these stories turn out where the claims made are not true.
That is true.
You can't just be upset right away because you don't really know what happened.
And I will say the media does love to pick up on these stories about Kadarius Toney. Like, I don't remember anyone posting positive stories.
I got to be honest with you. Any athlete, that's well-known enough, a suit is filed that says you were strangling a woman is going to get some attention.
It will get some attention. Right. It will. Let's go into the world of the Kardashian show a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. I never go here, Chris.
Man, let me text my wife. Favorite thing.
I've never watched an actual full episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and I'm really proud of myself for that.
You're probably a little better off for it.
Lamar Odom has made an appearance, and if you don't know, Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian were married in 2015-ish.
Okay.
And Lamar Odom was under the he was a bad drug addict at the time,
yes,
and
he
almost died several times.
Yeah,
and
she helped save him several
Khloe
times.
Khloe did, yes. Yeah. Which for her, it tells me a lot about her. That's a really tough thing to try and save someone over and over who will not take their life seriously.
But she also got to the point where she had moved on from Lamar, finally.
And that's fine.
And now he's got his life apparently back together,
yeah.
And she wants very little part to do with him, which is understandable based on what she went through.
But they talked. She said one specific thing in the Lamar Odom thing that I thought was insane.
Okay.
She said that, quote, "I was there when your father said, pull the plug so he can be on your life insurance," end quote. So he was telling, Lamar Odom's dad, I guess, was telling Khloe Kardashian to pull the plug so that they get benefits.
Wow.
This is crazy.
Yeah, that's a little...
it's morbid.
Morbid and, yeah. I'm just glad Lamar Odom has apparently got past this all, because he should be dead by now.
He definitely should be. Lamar Odom is someone I think people... maybe not look up to, because I don't know enough about him, but he had some really tough substance abuse issues.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, another Kardashian.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's not a Kardashian anymore. Tristan Thompson used to be on that show all the time.
He was married to Khloe, too.
Okay, so this is just a Khloe Kardashian ex-husband day.
There you go.
You were talking about this earlier, but he apparently got... what's this story?
They were up by 30 points with 10 seconds to go, and he went down and dunked the ball.
Yes.
And after the game, the Toronto players were pushing and shoving and trying to get a little fight going.
Yes.
Because they didn't appreciate it.
Yes.
To his part, he said they were playing full court trapping defense.
He did say that.
So, I don't care what they were doing. Come on. Stop dunking with a 30-point lead.
Why not? They were playing full court trap defense.
Why not? Because you kicked off a fight, basically.
A blank storm?
Game. Yeah, come on.
I like it.
We don't have a lot of respect for each other anymore. And it'd be nice to try to see some here and there.
All right. I can't fault you for that one, Chris. I can't. All right. Final story.
All right. This is the one
we've all been waiting for. This is the gross one. Okay. This is the gross one.
And I'm going to need some backing. You're just saying this on your own, and I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
Because the person in question, you talk about being sued by Harvey Levin. Be sued by this guy.
I'm not the one he's coming after. He's going to come after all the guys that are actually like posting this. But right. I'm putting it up on the chat or on the YouTube right now so that everybody can see it. But
all right, I'm stepping out of the way here.
Jimmy
Butler. I don't want to be in on the lawsuit.
Jimmy Butler, last night playing in a game with the Warriors in the fourth quarter, took a charge, pretty hard charge.
He took one or gave one?
I don't know.
At the end of the game, he ran into a Kyrie, and that was pretty much the play of the game.
Okay.
They called it a charge, and Dallas won the game because of it.
I don't know that because I think he soiled himself during that.
Oh, my God.
I'm playing the video right now on the chat.
Hang on. I'm going to need to see this.
And There is 100.
I don't see anything. Okay, there it is.
Hold on, I gotta start it.
Butler 109. I don't see anything.
I know. Hold on.
I'll be the judge.
All right, there we go. So he's walking to the bench, and there's a big old yellow spot on the back of his pants or on his shorts.
I gotta tell you, that is a very
not flattering stain that's on the back of the shorts.
Yeah, I don't need to see it again.
I'm going to show you again.
Yeah, I don't need to see it again.
There it is.
That is quite the stain.
Is
it possible that just something went wrong in the wash earlier in the day and it just looked like that?
No. It wasn't there before the fourth quarter. It was there after the fourth quarter started, Chris. I think Jimmy Butler
lost control of his faculties.
Yes. Tyler says, next week, Golden State Warriors debut their new yellow/tan uniforms.
Well, we said it was gross. So
it was gross.
You guys are keeping up with that.
But
Been any comment from Jimmy Butler on this yet?
I haven't really seen anything.
But everybody online is saying this is what happened, and they're showing the video, and just like you.
Yep.
Try and embarrass Jimmy Butler.
Well, TMZ Sports is really pushing this out there.
They are.
The title is Jimmy Butler, short stain versus Mavs. Is that poop emoji?
No. It's pretty telling, I must say.
Did no one... Okay, the one thing I will say that I don't think he would actually soil himself is because he went and sat down on the bench and didn't react at all. I'm thinking if
you're
you sit
it
down
even grosser
on the bench
in my mind now.
And you react, you would be like, oh, I did that, huh? Okay, well, game's over. I need to go to the bathroom now.
You go. There's got to be an explanation, but as of the way it stands right now, you see that stain, it's pretty much going to be the first thing you think of.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, very good.
He'll cry into his $60 million a year.
$60 million? I mean, get yourself a nice version of some Depends and don't make this an issue anymore, Jimmy. Wow.
I see a sponsorship opportunity.
Chris versus the Fans is next, 833-288-0973. Time for somebody out there to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.